Under the Sun on WLRN tells the stories of South Florida. I'm Alicia Zuckerman. The collection of islands could have been a resort destination in the middle of Biscayne Bay. Now, it's sort of like South Florida's own Atlantis, the almost lost city of Islandia. It's extremely likely that next week, the Miami-Dade County Commission will, in essence, vote Islandia out of existence. We sent Under the Sun's Sammy Mack across the bay to tell us more.
Standing right here, I'm looking at knicker bean and sea grape and pigeon plum and gumbo limbo.
Gary Bremen is a park ranger with Biscayne National Park. He's standing under a canopy of green foliage. Leaves cover the ground, though a few pieces of bleached white coral do poke out. This looks like a regular walking path, but then...
It's kind of just a slight depression here, and you can start to see that it rises up again there. Just little subtle differences that show something happened here, something big and traumatic happened here.
What Gary's pointing to is the remains of a six-lane highway that nobody ever drove.
Spite Highway.
Spite Highway, the city of Islandia's self-inflicted battle wound. Islandia was only a city for about 50 years. But really, it was lost before it ever got started. Okay, to explain the rise and fall of Islandia, I'll need three things. One, a book by a gentleman explorer. Two, a vacuum cleaner fortune. And three, a backlog of bureaucratic paperwork. I'll start with the explorer's book. We're back in the 1800s, a good 200 years before Islandia became a city. The book is called Cosmos, a sketch of the physical description of the universe. The author is a German scientist named Alexander von Humboldt.
In the form of the clouds and in the luminous electric phenomena are the same between the tropics in both continents.
Humboldt wrote in the book about his exploration of Latin America and the tropics. He was so moved by the color and the light and the air of the tropics, he practically begged painters
when artists of merit shall more frequently
to come capture the humid beauty, and they did. A whole generation of American painters headed to the tropics. This was the moment in U.S. history when paradise became synonymous with tropical paradise. That idea of paradise would turn the swamps of South Florida into a bustling metropolis.
You know, it's just a place where the exotic can be grown.
Dr. David Lee is a botanist in South Miami.
The gardens of paradise have always been an important element in our self-promotion and getting other people to move here.
Which is exactly what the founders of Islandia were banking on when they dreamed up the city. They just didn't see the vacuum cleaner coming. It was 1960. South Florida had developed into a major tourist destination. A small group of landowners got together and incorporated 33 isolated islands north of Key Largo. They appointed a mayor, a developer named Luther Brooks, and they hatched a plan to build a manicured resort. Hotels and swimming pools. They wanted to truck in sand for artificial beaches. And since the islands weren't part of the overseas highway to the Florida Keys, they wanted to build a causeway out into Biscayne Bay.
Which would have screwed up the bay big time.
Lloyd Miller is 91 years old now. He was an early environmentalist. He and a handful of activists felt that developing Islandia would pollute the waters of Biscayne Bay. They were ready for a tough fight. But Islandia had something that the development dream didn't have. Sentimental value to a wealthy patron.
Along about 1964, a man named Herb Hoover.
No relation to the 31st President of the United States.
Of the vacuum cleaner company. Heard about the fight.
See, Hoover had vacationed in Biscayne Bay as a little boy. Like Alexander von Humboldt, Hoover's image of paradise was untouched hardwood hammocks and crystal clear waters. He didn't want to see Islandia become another Miami Beach. So he personally ferried politicians out to the unspoiled islands by boat and by blimp. Meanwhile, Islandia Mayor Luther Brooks was fighting back.
I don't still understand the county commission wanting a hideaway for the people that have a lot of money and can afford a boat.
This is from a video interview that now plays in the Biscayne National Park Visitor Center.
Only 10% of the people of Dade County will ever be able to see these islands if it's bought for a park, unless there's a causeway built to it.
Brooks may sound calm, but you can see his anger in the way he's gripping his arms. Brooks was a former bootlegger with a reputation as a slumlord. He knew that if Islandia became a playground for the rich, he'd stand to make buckets of money. But he was losing the battle to Hoover, and he knew it. Hoover and the activists had persuaded the Federal Park Service to declare Biscayne Bay a national monument. Protected status would mean no development, no causeways, no swanky hotels, no beaches on the bay. In a last-ditch effort to keep the dream alive, Mayor Brooks shipped in bulldozers. He then plowed a 6-lane highway across the length of Islandia's longest quay. Brooks hoped that Hoover and the Park Service would lose interest if Paradise was disfigured.
Officially, it was known as Elliott Quay Boulevard. Under their breaths, it was known as Spite Highway.
That's Park Ranger Gary Bremen. He points to a sign.
1968, you see a huge, wide swath cut through the trees. Pickup truck in the middle gives some perspective as to actually how wide that really was.
Over the past half a century, the road has narrowed to a thin, puckered green line as the trees grew back. It looks like an old scar. But in spite of Spite Highway, Islandia and the rest of Biscayne Bay was named a national monument and then a national park. Spite Highway ended up being Islandia's one and only public work. At its peak, the city of Islandia had about 100 residents. And now there are only 5, and most of them work with the Park Service. Islandia doesn't have a mayor anymore, doesn't have any government anymore, but it's still technically a city.
We call them our problem child.
Kathy DeBose works in Tallahassee with the Joint Legislative Auditing Committee. The committee recommended Islandia disappear, at least from the books. Which brings us to the backlog of bureaucratic paperwork. These are the papers that Islandia should have filed to stay a city, but because there was no city government, no one filed the paperwork. In Florida, if a city doesn't file a budget report, the state punishes it by withholding sales tax revenue. And if there's no sales tax revenue to withhold...
Then the next item would be 1F2. It's a public hearing. Ordinance abolishing the city of Islandia.
In February, the Miami-Dade County Commission held a public hearing on the proposal to wipe Islandia off the map.
The public hearing is open. Do we have any speakers? Public hearing is open. Public hearing is closed.
Second.
That was the entire hearing. It lasted 10 seconds. No one spoke on behalf of the city of Islandia. On the day I visited Islandia, our boat back to the mainland was loaded up with fifth graders.
We're learning new things, like there's a sponge that's light orange, and if you touch it, it stings you.
They had just spent 3 days camping on Elliott Quay, hiking Spite Highway, and learning about environmental preservation. They're about the same age as Herbert Hoover was when he fell in love with these islands.
This is a place to calm you down.
Like, it's quiet. Not like over there, there's a lot of cars and stuff. I want it to be exactly the same so everybody can have this fun.
Even as the city of Islandia disappears, the islands remain part of Biscayne National Park. For Under the Sun, I'm Sammy Mack.
The Miami-Dade County Commission vote on Islandia is next week. You can see photos of the city of Islandia at WLRNunderthesun.org. Thanks to Robert Lyle for being the voice of Alexander von Humboldt. I produce Under the Sun with Dan Gretsch and associate producer Trina Sargalski. I'm Alicia Zuckerman.